Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For our sermon text this morning, we're going to be looking at Luke's record of the birth of Christ. As we've already sung, O Little Town of Bethlehem, we're going to read about this town of Bethlehem and the marvelous event that took place there. Old 2016 or 17, however you date the calendar, that many years ago already. So that's the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, and I'll read the first 20 verses. Luke chapter 2, and reading from verse 1, where we read then as follows in the name of our Lord. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we're thankful to you again this morning for this message, for this word. There is no greater message, Father, that could ever be spoken into the ears of people than a message such as this. And so we pray, Father, that even at this Christmas time and on this Christmas day, that indeed you would make yourself known to us. Open our hearts and our minds, open our eyes of faith, so that, Father, as we make our journey even this morning to the little town of Bethlehem, that, Father, there we would see our salvation and our hope, our joy, our peace, our all in all. So, Father, sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. Cecil Francis Alexander, who is a hymn writer, wrote a very marvelous hymn. There's actually a couple of hymns that I'd like to look at this morning that go along with this story. The other one is written by one of my favorite hymn writers, Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley wrote, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. But Cecil Francis Alexander, she wrote, Once in Royal David's City. So it's a marvelous thing for us this morning as you gather. You've heard me read this story. If you've been paying attention at all on the last Christmas days that you've gathered here to hear the word, I've used this text every Christmas since I've gotten here and been serving as your pastor. And there's always something, every year as I read the story, the same old story, there's something that stands out to me, it seems, every year. I mean, there's a lot really that stands out, but one particular point that I'd like to just drive home for the message this morning, and that is really the message of the angels. Because the message of the angels is the message that not only sounds out for the shepherds who were gathered there and on the hillsides in that area of the world, in Bethlehem and around that area, but this message is for you, which is what Charles Wesley, the hymn writer, recognized. And that's why he writes like he does. He writes so very powerfully. In fact, many of the hymns, as you sing them, very often I can't sing up here as I'm waiting to preach because, you know, my stomach is rolling and all of that good stuff that preachers deal with. So my singing voice isn't real good. So I just listen. And I follow along very often in the hymnal. And I always marvel at the message that comes forth from the hymnists and from the hymn writers. And of course, that's the whole purpose of hymnology as we consider it, even in like theological circles, or if you were to study it in a school of theology or in a seminary, you would study hymnology. But hymnology would actually always point you to what we call Christology, which is simply means the study of Christ. And so the hymns that we sing bring us, focus our vision again this morning on this child who's laying in a manger. Once in royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. It's actually a hymn written by this woman, Cecil, that was actually designed for children. She wrote it actually for children, but it's such a powerful hymn with such a powerful message that the message resounds not into just the hearts of children, but into the hearts of every person as they hear this simple message sung for them, or perhaps as you hear it read to you this morning. Once in royal David's city, one time in royal David's city, a child was born, and this child would change the very fabric of society. History would hinge on this birth. And one more week, we're going to take our old calendars off the wall, we're going to pitch them into the trash can, and we're going to hang up a new one, and it's going to say 2017, unless the Lord comes before that. But if the Lord doesn't come, that's what's going to happen. On January 1st, we're going to take our old calendars, we're going to toss them into the trash barrel or into our keepsakes or whatever you do with your calendars, and we're going to hang up another one. And it's going to say 2017, and most of our calendars don't give the little abbreviation behind it, which is AD, which simply means, it's a Latin term that just means in the year of our Lord. I thought that was quite astounding to think of that. You know, as we go through life and we look at this world around us and we think that, well, you know, the world is losing the whole message of Christmas. It's becoming very commercialized and all of these things. But actually, when we look at this message of Christmas, it affects everyone. Because this child changed even the very way we date time. 2016 in the year of our Lord is where we are living today. This child has affected your life and mine. The one who laid in a manger where the shepherds came to and observed, and who you and I, by faith this morning, as we make the journey with the shepherds, look into that manger. We don't have a nativity up here, but if you had a nativity, you could just imagine what that might be like as you wandered after actually seeing the messengers come from heaven. Then you make your journey toward Bethlehem, and there it is. Everything that has been told to you is there. Do you know, children, and adults alike. This is a real story. Too often, I think we hear these stories and we're just like, phew. It goes right over our heads and our minds are thinking about whatever. At least that's how it is for me. I'm going to be honest with you. I read this story and sometimes I read it and my mind's already wandering. I'm thinking about this and that and every other thing. This is the real deal. This is the event that the prophets spoke about for hundreds of years. This is what the people who dwelt in that region of the world were waiting for. They were waiting for this announcement to be made that the Christ child was indeed born. The Messiah, the one who would save his people, would show up in this region of Bethlehem and come and rescue them, as it were, from their present day plight. And you see, you and I very often need rescuing. This child would indeed rescue these people who confronted him, who witnessed his birth, even in that day and age. And this child has come to rescue you. You see, I don't know what your plight is this morning. I don't know the darkness that you are dwelling in this morning, perhaps. I don't know what you are going through in your life or what you're dealing with. Well, some of you, I know what you're dealing with because you've told me. But a lot of you, I don't know. Perhaps you're feeling very hopeless at this time of the year. Some people find this time of the year to be actually very depressing, and they deal with a lot of emotions because of the loss of loved ones or whatever else it might be. And so for one moment this morning, let's take a little journey, shall we? And we'll make our journey to the hillside in Bethlehem, and there we'll be seated on those hillsides observing these sheep around us like the shepherds are. And as we're sitting here in our nice, comfortable pews in Spruce Grove, let's imagine for a moment that we are just sitting there just basically doing what we normally do in life. For them, it was just a simple task, you know, keep these sheep safe. If any critters come along, predators, drive them away. Do your job, in essence. And that's what you've been doing this whole year. You've been doing your job, whether you're a farmer, a grandparent, whatever it is that you do, a teacher, construction worker, college student, high school student, grade student, you know, elementary student, I should say, whatever it is that you do. You've just been going through life, doing your job, doing the things that you have been given to do. And for one moment, maybe just for one moment this morning, all of a sudden, the message of the angels is going to ring through into your hearts. Because God, through his eternal word, will speak to you through this message and say, listen now, listen what I have done for you. Perhaps a lot of you people already this morning have opened gifts. That's what we did this morning. Or last night, perhaps, you gathered around wherever it is that you gather or whatever day it is that you celebrate by opening gifts. Well, this gift is amazing. This gift that the angels are declaring onto the people, onto the shepherds, in the message that we read this morning, is the most amazing gift, because it is the gift that brings to you and I life. It takes us from the realm of death and darkness into the realm of light and life. Because this child is the light of the world, and he is the one who comes to bring eternal life to the entire human race. And here we are. We're gathered here, we're sitting in our pews, imagining that we're on the hillsides there in Bethlehem, and it's dark. And each one of us are sitting here in the pew this morning, and we're wrestling with thoughts of whatever else it might be. Perhaps you're dealing with your own sinfulness this morning. Perhaps you're dealing with dark thoughts. Perhaps you're just kind of ho-hum. Another day to go to church and listen to the preacher. Perhaps you're wondering if all of this is really true. Or is this just another day that we gather in the church and listen to a message that may or may not help us? I can assure you this morning on the authority of the Word and by the power of God's Holy Spirit that this message is for you. Open your eyes. Open your eyes this morning and observe with me as these shepherds are sitting there just doing their normal everyday duty, and all of a sudden a heavenly messenger shows up. And so you can imagine it with me this morning as you are seated here. All of a sudden an angel stands here in the corner of this room and begins to declare unto you a message. And the message is simply this: fear not. Don't be afraid. Dear child of God, you need this message. I need this message. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Because very often when we are confronted with the majesty of our God and His glory as He exhibits it in whatever way that He does, we are afraid. We are frightened. And the angel immediately, he wants to alleviate those fears. He says, no, don't be afraid. I come here to bring you good news, not news that you need to be afraid of, but news that'll pick you up out of your dark place, whatever that might be. News that'll show unto you where real life comes from. I come to reveal to you a gift that God, the Heavenly Father, has given to you this day. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, which is for all people. I bring you the gospel. I bring you the euangelion. Maybe that'll wake somebody up. What is that? That's the gospel. I bring you the good news. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me, older people. Listen. This message is for you. This angel who comes and he begins to speak to these shepherds, bring them a message of great joy. He says, everything now is going to change for you. Fear not, for I behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So do you need saving this morning? Where are you at, dear Christian? Dear listener this morning, where are you at? What is going on in your life? What are you dealing with? Where are you looking this morning? Where is your vision focused? What are you actually looking at that you think is going to bring you hope and joy and peace in this world? You tell me. I come to bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. There is a child who has been born in Bethlehem, who is the Savior of the world, who comes to rescue you from your darkness and to bring you into His glorious light. And He assures you this morning that He will, in fact, carry you all the way through this life. He will be with you in your ups and in your downs. And He will bring to you this message over and over again through the lips of a preacher, perhaps, but also through His Word, where He will tell you, do not be afraid. I know that some of you have great fear this morning. I know that some of you are dealing with bad news. Some of you are dealing with, I don't know what you're dealing with. Maybe you're in financial straits. Perhaps you wonder this morning, is it really true that God could be merciful to me, a sinner? Is it really true that God would look upon me and know, and with all the things that I've done, with all of my bad attitudes, whatever else it might be, the sinful things that I do, that I think that I've done, the way I've treated other people, is it really true that God would come and rescue me? Yes. That's true. Because he sent his son. You see, in Hark the Herald Angels Sing, I copied out of our hymnal. I hope that's legal. I'm not going to sell it, so I guess it's legal. I copied out of our hymnal this, actually on Friday, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and it says this in the second line. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hail the heavenly Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life, to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Man, is that beautiful. Charles Wesley, man, he could write, huh? Man, if I could write like that, that would be something, but I can't. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. He says, in this child is the Godhead. It's veiled. We can't see him in all of his glory and splendor, so he shows himself to us in a man. In a child. Here is the God of the universe, the creator of the world, condescends to this level where he is born of a virgin woman and laid in a feeding trough. Hail him. This one who is the heavenly Prince of Peace, who brings joy to a world that knows no joy. And hope to a world that is completely hopeless, and peace to a world that is in complete turmoil, comes this child to bring this message of hope, of joy, of love, and of peace. As we close out this year, my friends, this is where our focus is brought to again. This child is the Prince of Peace. He is the Son of Righteousness, and he's risen with healings in his wings. That's actually a quote right out of Malachi chapter 4. This is the one who brings to you healing. He will heal you. He will take from you your sinfulness. He has taken from you your sinfulness, and now calls you unto himself. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and my burden is light. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I can't guarantee to you this morning that you will be healed of a physical ailment. I can't guarantee to you this morning that you won't have struggles tomorrow or into the next year, but I can tell you one thing. This child who comes into this world is the Prince of Peace, who has risen with healing in his wings, and he has brought healing to you and to me. I am healed this morning. My sin sickness has been taken care of. Amen. My sin sickness is over because of this child. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have struggles as I go through life. I'm not saying that at all. But this child has come to heal me. And every time I find myself down in that dark place where I think about just Dennis, what I call, actually, probably I should attribute it to a man who gave me this term. I call it navel gazing. where I simply begin to look at my own belly button, and that's all I'm really worried about, is staring at that and trying to decide exactly how miserable I really am. My eyes need to be lifted up in whatever way that God chooses to, again, focus my vision where the shepherd's vision was focused, to the message of the angels. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth. Actually, peace on earth and mercy mild. God, listen to this. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. God and sinners reconciled. God and sinners reconciled. Do you know what that means? That means that God is now friendly towards you. Reconciliation means that he has come and restored the relationship that sin broke. Sin came into this world and destroyed the relationship, and we were like black and white. We couldn't mix at all with our God. In fact, when we seen him, we ran screaming into the darkness. But now, because of this Christ child, we come running to the light, because that is where we find hope and joy and peace and love. Joyful, joyful, all you nations, rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born. Christ is born in Bethlehem. You see, as we're sitting here, imagining, as I've been trying to get you to do with me at least, that we're in Israel right now, we're on the hillsides of Bethlehem, or in that area, wherever it was exactly. And the angel, first angel comes and he brings this news to us. All of a sudden, whammo! Couldn't think of a different word. Whammo! There's this whole pile of angels, a whole multitude of them. The heavenly armies themselves are there before us, and they're announcing this marvelous news. Listen to this. Glory to God in the highest. That means all the way into the heavens, the highest of the heavens. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Well, what does that mean? That means that God's favor is now turned toward men. Goodwill toward men means God's favor has been given unto his people. This is the glorious message of the gospel. We don't go out into this world condemning this world. We go out into this world showing them this gospel, again declaring to them the message of the angelic host, who proclaim to the shepherds, dirty shepherds on a hillside who stink like farmers, that God likes them a lot. He loves farmers. He loves truck drivers. He loves moms and grandmothers and children, whatever else you might do, people who work at the co-op. I see a few of you here. Retirees who no longer drive bus. Whatever it is that you do, concrete workers, construction workers, framers, children, he loves all of you. You who are dealing with your struggles in this life, God loves you. If there's no better message that comes out of Christmas for you this morning, then that is the message for you. Right where you sit this morning, in your dilemma, in your stuff, he loves you. And he knows exactly who you are. He knows what you've done, and he loves you in spite of it, because that's who he is. And he calls you onto himself again this morning. Come to the light. Come to the one who is the light and the life of this world. Come and receive, as it were, the gift from Bethlehem's manger. You see, once the shepherds heard that, they were out of there. I just think it's a marvelous thing. I can imagine, and this is just me. I got a good imagination, I guess. But if I was there with the shepherds, I'd been like, let's go. And I almost feel like doing that. Come on, guys, let's just run out there and just go run into Wolf Lake and start singing for the people there. The whole church, imagine what they would think as we all come running down the road singing about our God and His majesty. They probably think we lost our minds. But who really cares? Why do we go around thinking that we have to be so sober or whatever, or trying to put on some kind of front for people, or hiding even who we are? Who cares what the world thinks? Let's go out there and tell them. The dirty old stinky shepherds ran right into Bethlehem. They weren't worried that people were going to be going, oh man, these guys stink. They could care less about that. They simply ran there because they wanted to see the Christ child. They wanted to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How is it for you? See, God is inviting you to His house, to His feast. And He says, come with all of your dirtiness, with all your stinky sins, with all of the garbage that you've committed, you come, you run to Me because I have taken care of that. You don't look at your sinfulness. You don't look at what you've done. You don't look at these things at all. You look to Me because I have brought unto you forgiveness. I have brought unto you light and life. My Son has shed His blood for your sins. You come just like you are. You come. I don't care if you smell like a barn. I don't care what it is that you are doing. You just come to Me. Because I have the message that will bring unto you life. You see, my friends, this is what we do. This is what the church does in various ways. Some go out into the mission field and they bring this message to the people that they encounter in their lives. It's the message of Christmas. Christmas isn't just a message that affects us on one single day of the year. It is a message that affects us the entirety of the whole year, because this gift has brought onto us a changed existence. Charles Wesley closes out his hymn with these words: mild He lays His glory by, born that man no more may die. Did you hear that? Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us Thy humble home. You hear what Charles is saying? He's saying, this is the message. This is our own cry. Come, Father. Come live in Me. Come to Me and live in Me. He calls us in repentance to Him. O, to all Thyself impart, formed in each believing heart. I tell you, what a message, huh? What a message. Never tire of this message, loved ones. Never tire of the message of Christmas and think it's just another story that goes along with December 25th and with Christmas programs. No, this is a message that changed the world, that changes us. And as we make our way into Bethlehem with the shepherds, there we find Mary and Joseph and the babe. Yeah, they're there. They're really there. It's true. It's true. God came as a child into this world. It's true. The shepherds seen this, and they returned from there, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And we leave this morning, I pray, glorifying and praising God for all the things that He has shown unto us as it's been told to us in His Word. May God bless each one of you this morning with the knowledge of the Christ child, perhaps in a nearer and dearer and clearer way this morning as you leave from this place. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for your word. What a message, Father, what a message. We look forward, Father, to that time when we will, like the shepherds, run to you as you reveal yourself in the eastern skies on your return. But now, Father, as we live in this present world dealing with the things that we deal with, we ask for your help. We ask on behalf of our brothers and sisters this morning who are struggling with various illnesses, diseases, with things that plague their minds, the falseness, Father, that so often our flesh does to us. It tells us Satan himself even comes in and tries to weave his lies into our mind. But Father, as you instruct us in your word, we resist him and he runs fleeing. So help us to do so. Bless each one of these people who have gathered here. Father, you know their hearts, you know their minds, you know the things they struggle with and deal with in their life. You know their work situations, their home situations, their health situations. And so we ask, Father, I ask on behalf of all of them, that the light of this child would shine into their hearts, that they could walk from this place perhaps with a little lighter step as they leave from here in the joy of Christmas and go out into this world and share that by the way they live their lives, by the things that they do. So, Father, show us your love. Show us your kindness. Show us your peace. Show us your joy again this year and into the next. For we ask all of these things then for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.